the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, where we discuss all things crypto related. Your host, Kieran Ryan.
You've probably heard about centralized exchanges like Luno and Valour, and you maybe have heard about decentralized exchanges like Uniswap and Ox. But there's another type of exchange starting to creep into the space, and that is called a hybrid exchange, which is a blend of centralized and decentralized exchanges. Neo Nomad is one such hybrid exchange based right here in South Africa. It's quite new, with some interesting departures from the traditional exchanges. Neo Nomad allows you to onboard into the crypto world by purchasing a Rand stablecoin called ZARC, that's Z-A-R-C, or you can buy its own native cryptocurrency called Neo Nomad. And that allows you to connect to a number of other decentralized exchanges where you can buy and sell thousands of other cryptos. This is a logical use of the blockchain technology, rather like open banking in the traditional finance space, where you have an account with an open banking partner that allows you to transact at the touch of a button with any number of other financial institutions. Now, Neo Nomad is powered on the Solana blockchain, which is becoming a favored venue for developers because of the speed at which you can transact and, of course, low costs as well. What's also fairly unique about Neo Nomad is that it's aimed at making it easier for those new to crypto to get on board. And one way it's doing this is by putting up a walk-in cafe in Cape Town where staff are on hand to help you set up a crypto wallet, sign up, transact. Doing this online is often a huge barrier for new entrants, so Neo Nomad identified this as a key weakness with existing crypto exchanges. Well, we're joined by Hanris Bjorkus, who is CEO and founder of Neo Nomad, to find out a little bit more about Neo Nomad. Hi, Hanris. Good to have you on the MoneyWeb Crypto podcast. Let's start with a bit of history. When was Neo Nomad started, and what is it aiming to do that is different from other exchanges?
Hi, Kieran. Thanks for having me. I'm very excited about what the future holds for this space and glad to chat with you. So Neo Nomad was conceptualized, or the whole idea, I started playing around with it around 2019. I followed crypto very closely since Satoshi wrote his white paper. Followed the space closely. But when Ethereum launched in 2014, and smart contracts came along, that's when I became interested because I realized what can be done through smart contracts and how we can disrupt and change what's lacking in traditional finance. So I actively started investing in crypto back in the Wild West days of the IDOs and all of that in 2016, 2017. But was officially convinced around 2019. So the 2020 happened, was COVID. So that gave us a lot of time to sit and think. And that's when I put pen to paper and wrote the white paper and started planning from there. We started active development in January 2021, and we had our fair bit of stumble blocks and challenges along the way. As anyone known with development and smart contract development, and how that goes, we officially launched our NNI token, which is our native currency of Neo Nomad. We launched that around April 2022. And unfortunately for us, about 2 weeks after that launch, Terra Luna crashed. And not long after that, Celsius, the big fund, went down. And around a month or two after that, the whole FTX scam got exposed. And that literally sent the whole crypto market spiraling into bearish territory. And I actually took that time to take a step back and to look at where the market is, mistakes that's been made by other participants in the market, our own mistakes we made, and decided to go into full development mode. We did pivot a little bit in terms of our initial strategy around that time. And it gave us about, I'd say, a year and a half to get us to where we are now. And during that phase, I realized that stable coins and the tokenization of real world assets is what will propel and drive the next bull run in crypto. And purely because, especially stable coins, purely because it creates a bridge for us between traditional finance, traditional banking, and then fintech and innovative blockchain technology. And so around that, I realized that South Africa doesn't really have stable coin like USDT or USDC. And without that, it makes it extremely challenging for the average guy on the street to ramp on and off to and from the blockchain in a cost-effective way. And I realized that when people started asking questions and saying how difficult it is to purchase NNI, the new Nomad token, they had to jump through 10 hoops to get to a point where they're holding NNI in their self-custodial wallet. And that was the birth of Zossi, how that started. And also, you know, stablecoins is just, I think, the one most important thing that will drive adoption and create proper utility in the crypto industry, especially in developing countries like Africa or developing continents like Africa, countries like Brazil, Indonesia, etc.
All right, so you've given us a bit of history about yourself. You got in, you were one of the lucky ones who got in way back like a decade ago, and you've seen the evolution of crypto over that period of time. So your conclusion was that stablecoins is really kind of the future, which is something I've been thinking a lot about as well, because if you look at the top 10 coins on CoinMarketCap, for example, three of them, I believe, are US dollar-backed stablecoins. Now, there are a few RAND stablecoins. There's ZRX. I think Alcoin Trader has one as well. So you've got ZRC, and you've done this for South Africa, presumably. South Africans who are familiar with the RAND, they might want to own a stablecoin. And I guess that is really what you see as a potential weakness with some of the other exchanges. And I think people might be interested to hear what's your thinking about this merger of centralized and decentralized exchanges. So now you've onboarded and you've bought either NNI, which is the Nomad token, or you've got ZRC. What do they do at that point? How do they progress if they want to buy Bitcoin, for example?
Let me take a step back and just give you a little bit of an example. What I believe is the difference or the opportunity between a centralized exchange like Luna and Valor, or what we have, which is a hybrid exchange, which is quite unique. Centralized exchanges are custodians of the crypto of all of their users, and they make use of, we all have to, through regulation, ramp on via KYC, different levels of KYC, and ramping off as well. With a hybrid exchange, what's different about it is that the front end, so-called front end, or the platform that you visually see, is centralized. So you have to ramp on through the same process by going through KYC, etc., different levels, depending on your transaction volume, etc. But on the back end, we make use of decentralized technology that does all the transacting. So we're making use of a thing that we built on the Solana blockchain. On the back end, that does all our transacting is Jupiter, which is a decentralized aggregator on the Solana blockchain. Why did we go this route? I think it is more transparent, it is faster, it is more scalable, and it is way, way cheaper than your traditional centralized exchange in terms of transacting fees. And also, you mentioned the likes of XR or ZRX and other potential stable coins. Now, the difference between that and us is there's Zarpi as well. Zarpi is great, also a good stable coin. I just think their business model is slightly different in terms of going for the B2B market, where with Zarpi, our aim is B2B, B2C, and including everyone from the guy on the street who wants to purchase 15 rands worth of Zarpi to the bigger institution who wants to purchase 15 million rands worth of Zarpi. Now, you can ramp off through the process. So you go to our website, you create a profile for yourself by entering your details, going through the KYC process. Once that is done, you can literally from any bank transfer rands to our treasury account, which is sitting with Standard Bank South Africa. And this whole process is automated. So the moment you transfer your funds to our treasury account, your profile is created. Once the system picks up that by use of a unique reference code, so if you create a profile with us, you will have a unique reference code that you will have to use every single time you deposit funds to our treasury account. When the system picks that up automatically, it mints your Zarpi onto the platform. So let's say you transfer 100 Rand from your bank account to our treasury account with Standard Bank. You will, within a matter of seconds, your 100 Zarpi will reflect on the platform. Now, what's great about this is you can then either stay on the app and decide to swap your Zarpi for Solana, or in our case, if you would like Bitcoin or Ethereum, you can swap for that. But seeing that we are only at this stage built on Solana, you will have to swap for a wrapped version of Bitcoin or a wrapped version of Ethereum until we've integrated our multi-chain, or when we go full multi-chain, which means then you can decide on which blockchain you would like to keep your tokens on. But let's say you decide to swap your Zarpi for Solana. Now you have your Solana. You can then withdraw that Solana to your self-custodial wallet, your Phantom or your Soulflare wallet. Now you have custody of your own funds, as opposed to any other centralized exchange. It's not the case. So we like to, in terms of, I like the phrase, you know, you own your keys, you own your money, so you're in charge of your own money. And that's what decentralization is all about, isn't it? Same with Zarpi. Once you have your Zarpi on the platform, you can withdraw that Zarpi to your self-custodial wallet, and then you're in charge of that. Then you can, just like with Solana or Zarpi or our native token, NNI, you can go to our decentralized applications and you can stake. And for those who don't understand what staking means, it's storing your tokens. It's like, in traditional sense of the word, it's like a fixed deposit where you lock in your tokens and you earn yield on that. So that is the big difference between how we do it and how other exchanges do it. And for us, it's all about decentralization and enabling the user. That classic bridge between centralized finance or centralized banking and fintech and blockchain technology, to bridge that gap, but also to take it a step further, to allow the user that his funds doesn't sit in a centralized exchange like the competitors I've mentioned. But let's take FTX as an example. What happened with individuals when FTX went down? All of their funds were locked in into FTX and they couldn't get their funds out. They had to sit and wait. Some of them lost millions. Others got a little bit back. In our case, you can instantly, after transacting, withdraw all of your tokens to a self-custodial wallet. If you want to ramp off again, when Lehman storms, want to have your rands back into your bank account, you can simply go and take the Solana or the Bitcoin or the Zarpi, deposit it back to your profile, and then make a withdrawal request back for the rands to go back into your bank account.
I think one of the fascinating things of a hybrid exchange, because you then, once you're onboarded, you then interface with these decentralized exchanges, and it literally gives you access to probably tens of thousands of different cryptocurrencies. It's a bit overwhelming for a new person, but let's say the person wants to back Neo Nomad. You do have a token. It's called NNI. I just had a check on it yesterday on CoinMarketCap. It's doubled in the last week. I know it's very volatile. It's at very high prices and then it dropped, but that's kind of what you would expect, I suppose, in a market like this. But people that are doubling in a week is it's quite something. Why is that? Why do you think there has been, I presume, buying pressure that's pushing the price up?
Kieran, that is purely because we've only started sticking our necks out recently. We had a public launch on the 11th of July, and also started actively with our market campaign and our branding, etc. So that will create volatility. But also, the one thing we like to pride ourselves on is the fact that we're trying in a very, very simplistic manner educate the users on what is crypto, what is a wallet, what is the difference between a stable coin and a major token like Bitcoin and altcoins like NNI, and also explaining to people what the value is between NNI, which is the native token of our whole ecosystem, and the fact that we have limited supply of 200 million tokens, and a growing ecosystem over time. Our products, depending on how decent these instruments are, how good our education is to the public, will create demand in our token. And that demand and the fact that it's limited will drive the price up. We're in the process now of, within the next 3 to 8 weeks, we're going to be adding quite a big USDC NNI liquidity pool to this token. Where currently liquidity is fairly low because we haven't done that yet. So just a little bit of buying pressure will make the token shoot up in price, and then someone else will spot that and then just sell their tokens, and it will bring the price all the way back down. However, with a decent liquidity pool behind it and more liquidity, it will stabilize the price a bit more and clear, and that will cause it to be less volatile.
I think one of the things that is fairly interesting about what you're doing is that you have this walk-in cafe, I think that's what it is, down in Cape Town, which is something that you don't encounter much of in the crypto space. People generally, they read up about crypto online, they try and do some reviews. It's very difficult for a person to feel safe. For example, setting up a wallet. So you're talking about a self-custodial wallet. People maybe don't understand that. That's basically the equivalent of a bank account, but you control it, not the bank and not the crypto exchange. Tell us about this walk-in cafe. Is it succeeding? Are people coming in? Is word getting out that there's a place where you can go and you can onboard and get into the crypto space?
The cafe is not open yet. We've got our banners up and our everything in the windows. We are starting with construction now, in the first week in September. This space is called Decentralounge, and what Decentralounge essentially is a space for like-minded individuals, people that's interested in crypto, Web3, and not only for them. Obviously, Neo Nomad, our target market at this stage is the underbanked and people previously excluded from traditional finance, whether it was high deposit requirements or whatever that reason may be. And it's a little bit like like the Capitec model, how Capitec started. You know, they went for a certain market first, but then they won over your educated or bigger volume user from the competition over time by just being simplistic, low fees, and giving really, really, really good service to customers. Now, Decentral Lounge is a combination of a co-working space, a crypto cafe, soundproof working pods, and boardrooms with full conference facilities that our users and our members can make use of. And also an NFT art gallery and a podcast recording studio for our users as well. So the whole idea behind this is for us to not only host our own educational workshops on a weekly basis in Decentral Lounge, but also assisting the guy that doesn't, like you said, that doesn't know what a wallet is. So we've got a nice reception area as you walk in, and an individual can walk up to any of our supporting staff members there, just like you walk into an Apple store or a Discovery store or a Capitec branch and say, I'm interested in learning more about blockchain, whether it is just taking part in your educational events or if you actively want to start using digital currencies. Our staff will help you. They will assist you in downloading a wallet. They will assist you in becoming well, you know, just how to make use of our app, which is quite simple. If you can use a Capitec app, you'll be able to use our app as well. And that's important for us because I've seen a lot of people want to get involved, but they get lost in complicated websites, complex jargon like yield farming and staking and, like you said, self-custodial wallets and all of these things. So they get confused. So they hesitant to jump on board. Where our aim is to declutter everything and even change a word or assist someone in saying, look, staking is actually just storing your funds like in a fixed deposit account and earning yield on it. Let's show you how to use that by changing the wording of it on our websites and our apps as well to make it more, you know, the ease of access for anyone. So that's the idea behind it. I mean, any of our competitors, you know, if you want to get on board or jump on board, the human factor for me is still important. And everything is going digital, which is great. I'm all for it. But the more I talk to people and the more I understand the need of our mass market that we want to target, they want to have that physical interaction, sit next to one, helping them, talk to someone, work in an environment like it. And that's where I see the white space and opportunity in this. And what's nice about it as well for us in the co-working space as it's next to our office, the plan is to branch out nationally and globally as New Nomad expands. But it's a great place to pick up young talent to where guys are working together on new innovative technology and apps where we can, you know, reap that up in the beginning before anyone else. It's a great place for us to spot talent, to make them part of New Nomad. It's a great place where we can get involved in sponsorships, scholarships, etc. And obviously, most importantly, is the fact that it's crypto only. So if you want to purchase anything from the Crypto Cafe or El Bistro inside, you need a wallet. So you're going to have to pay with Zossi or our native token.
Right. Just very quickly, because we're running out of time, I do want to touch on this issue of the rate of crypto adoption in South Africa. You obviously see a huge opportunity here that has kind of been neglected. The people who were the early adopters, they were tech savvy. They knew how to read a white paper. They could understand Satoshi's white paper on Bitcoin, for example, which was quite simply written, actually. Now, but then you've got this jargon, as you've mentioned, staking, and you've come up with a new word for storing, for which you earn some kind of return, and a self-custodial wallet. So the like any field, there's a lot of jargon involved, which confuses people. One of the big things, of course, is you have these very long, complex addresses. So if you transfer to the wrong address, your money's gone. There's no intermediary that's going to save you or reverse that transaction. This is obviously one of the things you feel is a barrier to entry. Just talk very briefly about that if you can.
I think through proper education, Kieran, I think people will learn to, you know, at this stage, the only thing we have is when you send funds to someone to another wallet, you literally need to, it's easy if you copy and paste it, but still people make mistakes. You know, you need to double check, triple check, and then double check and triple check again. But what we're currently doing is, and working with another technology provider, is to simplify this in a way where you can literally, purely by linking the person's name or his cell phone number to his wallet address, to send those funds like that. And I believe this will simplify it even more. And why we're doing that is, Our market that we are targeting. Let's think of something like a spaza shop in a township. I don't want to say too much about it at this stage because I'm under NDA, but we are going to substitute, for lack of a better word, cash with Zossi to these people, and make it very easy for the spaza shop owner just to cash out and have the funds in his bank account. And the way we're going to enable this to do this is to simply make use of a cell phone number or a name where people can send the funds to, instead of making use of very long and complicated wallet addresses.
Okay, final question. What's the future? You talked about international expansion. How do you see that rolling out? Are you connected, for example, to a multitude of different decentralized exchanges? Are you going to add more as time goes on?
Our current plan now, until I would say Q1 next year, is to go through a proper 3 or 4 phase beta testing round of our platform to make sure everything is good, and onboarding enough people to assist us with that beta testing. So the simplicity and the security of our app is very important. So that's what we'll be focusing on. Secondly, is just making people more aware of the Central Lounge and crypto education and onboarding. A big thing for me is to make crypto spendable and usable in South Africa. Now, that's the only way this industry will thrive, if people can actually start using it. And that's why stablecoins are so important. It's one thing if you can accept Bitcoin as a merchant, but Bitcoin's still volatile. So today the merchant accepts Bitcoin as a payment mechanism. Tomorrow he must buy a new stock, but then the price of Bitcoin dropped, which is a bit of a conundrum. Where stablecoins basically eliminates that volatility, so it's easy. Lower transaction fees, and he can redeem his funds faster. So crypto adoption and the usability of crypto, and making sure the simplicity of our app and our platform, that's the most important things for us until Q1 next year, as well as making sure and creating awareness around Decentral Lounge that will be opening up around January, February, then in 2025. After that, our next stop will be Ghana, where we've already been in talks there with Higher Finance to do the same. Kenya, and then up north in Africa, we already started working with the Solana Foundation on expansion into South America in Brazil. And then Indonesia, our last stop will be Europe, and North America, although we are already fully licensed in Europe and in Canada.
Very good. And what about your South African licensing? Is that in progress?
That's all good in progress. We are first week in September. We've got the FSCA visiting our office and making sure everything is on board or above board. And then hopefully after that, shortly after that visit, our license will be issued. But as we speak now, we are fully compliant and regulated and everything.
Terrific stuff. Thanks very much for that, Andreas Bjorkes from Neonovat. And we wish you the best. And no doubt we will follow your story with great interest in the coming months and years. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Kieran. Thanks for having me. It was a great chat. Always exciting.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, hosted by Kieran Ryan. To listen to our other podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.